The response to Haiti's disaster continues.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. 2,000 U.S. Marines are expected to arrive in Port-au-Prince today. They'll help relief organizations get supplies to survivors of last week's earthquake. Up to now, distributing relief has been quite the challenge.
In Haiti, we have an airport that's essentially non-functioning. They're having a lack of gas, so if you even get things there, getting it from point to point without gas is impossible. You have the port not functioning, and they really have had sort of a worst-case scenario in terms of being able to get things there.
Ann Campbell is a professor of management sciences at the University of Iowa. The aid group Doctors Without Borders says because the airport in Port-au-Prince is in such disarray, a portable medical facility is having to be trucked in from the Dominican Republic. On the other side of the planet, a contract's been awarded to develop the largest oil field in Iraq. The Anglo-Dutch oil giant Shell and its partner, a Malaysian state-run oil company, have finalized this 20-year deal. We're going to bring in Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London right now. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Steve.
So how big a prize is this?
It is quite a prize. I mean, this is an absolutely gigantic oil field, one of the largest in the world, actually, with reserves, it's believed, of 12.6 billion barrels. The field is currently producing only 46,000 barrels a day. Shell and Petronas have promised to increase that 40 times to 1.8 million barrels a day.
And how difficult, Stephen, will it be to develop this field?
It's not going to be easy. It's located very close to the border with Iran. It was actually caught in the crossfire of the Iran-Iraq war. That's why it's not been properly developed. There's still some mines and other explosives lying around that will have to be cleared. Some potential friction also with Iran over the ownership of the field. And then the security situation in Iraq generally better than it was, but says Chris Grabowski of Peak Oil Consulting, it won't be easy for Shell and Petronas to operate there.
Driving around the roads, it's a dangerous exercise, and oil companies and their workers, as we know, are targets for people who want to extort money, hijacking, or just wish to make some political point or other.
He reckons it'll take Shell well over a decade to fully develop the oil field.
All right, Marketplace European correspondent Stephen Beard. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
All right. Markets are closed here at home today for Dr. Martin Luther King Day, but some buying going on overseas. Markets in Europe are higher right now, 0.5% or less. Asian stocks mixed today. On Wall Street last week, the Dow was off about 0.1%. The S&P 500 gave back about 0.8%, and the NASDAQ was lower by 1.3%. Last week, Verizon lowered the price of some of its wireless voice plans. Its biggest competitor, AT&T, jumped in with cuts of its own. So it may look like just another price war, but Marketplace's Gregory Warner reports it's much more than that.
Cell phone customers cheered over the weekend at news that some carriers were lowering the price of their monthly voice plans. Telecom analyst Jeff Kagan expects those prices to keep falling.
Over the next few months, and over the next few years, I think prices are going to continue to get lower, but it's going to be bundled with voice and data services.
Starting today, Verizon will require customers who buy a multimedia phone to buy an unlimited data plan along with it. Analyst Mark Donovan says that so-called all-you-can-eat data plans encourage customers to try out the fancier features on their phone.
To pull the browser up on their phone, to download an app, and not be afraid that they're going to be unexpected charges that show up on the bill.
Donovan says that unlimited data plans are intended to bring in more customers and keep them on their phones longer. In Philadelphia, I'm Gregory Warner for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing, online surveys, and event marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, working to strengthen America by empowering more young people to achieve educational success beyond high school.
Without a backyard, what happens to the deceased pets of apartment dwellers? In New York City, there's a market for it, as Stephen Thrasher from The Village Voice reports.
Losing a pet is never easy, but it's especially tricky when you live in a New York City apartment. What do you do when your pet dies? Try calling 311, New York's information line, and you'll get this advice.
basically you can dispose of the animal in a plastic bag, and on your garbage collection day you can place it out and you can have the bag stating dead dog.
Still, no surprise, most pet owners won't dispose of their dog or their cat with the trash. And more Americans are choosing to not have their veterinarian anonymously dispose of the remains. About 10,000 pets are cremated and returned to their owners each year at the Pet Cremation Agency on Long Island. Owner James Arakria says pet cremation is not just for urbanites without yards anymore.
Years ago, it used to be, hey, Junior, dig a hole in the backyard and bury the pet. You know, it doesn't happen that way now. Pets have become so much more part of families. The death aspect has become an industry.
So successful an industry that its crematory is increasingly acting as a contractor for human funeral homes that now host services for pets.
Funeral homes are trying to see if they can find a foothold inside the pet cremation business.
Walk into a pet funeral home and you'll find a suspiciously tiny altar and little urns adorned with halo-wearing puppies and kittens. But for funeral homes, pet cremation is a loss leader. They only get a couple $100 per pet in most cases. They realize if they do a good job for you when Fido dies, you might just throw your business their way when a loved one passes away. Another option for city dwellers is an actual pet cemetery, like the one in Hartsdale that has been around for over a century. A professional pet burial will cost you at least $1,500, but according to overseer Ed Martin, many pet owners are more than willing to pay for peace of mind.
They want a place that is permanent and forever, and that's why they come here.
Pointing to a headstone, Martin says all kinds of people bury their pets, some of whom likely have a backyard.
Love M. M is for Mariah Carey. This is her plot here, and Clarence was her pet cat.
It might seem like a lot to put up a granite headstone for your pet when much cheaper options are available, but look just up the hill, and you'll see a 10-foot-tall, 50-ton mausoleum constructed for half-dozen pets from just one family. In New York, I'm Stephen Thrasher for Marketplace.
Finally, in Malaysia, a Lebanese man was arrested and charged with carrying fake currency. He was busted after a hotel maid tried to cash in a $500 U.S. note. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.